I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you?
Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, love him, love him. Love him, love him, love him. Love him, I love him.
You ain't got the money moving by yourself. And you know you did it with a lot of him. You know it's only one, it ain't nobody else. You got me talking strong and I ain't rich, I'm talking well. See, I'm forgiving, I'm forgiving. See, I done been forgiving, now I'm living. And when I say I love, I mean it. But none of this be nothing, if he come in, I'm missing y'all.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused. And let Word of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Luke chapter number 22. We'll parade and peruse the periphery of verse number 31 through verse number 33. How about that? Amen. You have that, so I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. If you don't have it, say, hold on a second. All right. That's your second. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, it reads, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death." I guess I better read verse 34. And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 Endures forever. And I haven't given it a title yet, but I guess I'll just throw this title to you, this tag on this message. When you're converted, do something. When you're converted, do something. Amen. 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 The reason for that title, I think, is because many times we get converted. We go through and then God blesses us. And then we don't do anything with what God blesses us with. God blesses us with a testimony. And we won't talk about what God has done. God blesses us with material blessings. And we're afraid that if we tell somebody that the devil might get it and do something. The devil, if he could stop it, he would. But since he can't, he stops you from telling the good things of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. But here we have in the gospel according to St. Luke. And again, I tell you that St. Luke, he was a physician by trade, but he was a companion of Paul, who happened to write this very long book of the New Testament. Amen. It's called the Book of Luke. And he was writing this to Theophilus to get him convinced on what the Lord had done in the days that Jesus had been upon the earth, walking and talking and giving them instruction and guidance and showing them the things that God was going to do and declaring unto them the kingdom of God. And so he decided to write these things down, and we have what we call the gospel according to St. Luke. Excuse me. But when we look at what he wrote here in this particular chapter, we find that Jesus is ready. He's ready to go through his hardest time in his 33 and a half year short life on earth. And Luke is saying here, showing us that Jesus decided that he wanted to eat the Passover. And they got together and they begin to eat the Passover, and Judas Iscariot, whom the devil has gotten into his heart, Jesus is telling him, that thou doest, do it quickly. Go and, you know, do what you said you were going to do. Go and betray me. And he's going to do that. And then you have the disciples that are among themselves, and they're talking about, you know, the things that Jesus has said, and Jesus is giving them the Lord's Supper, in which we will partake in the Holy Sacrament today. But he's telling them today, he's telling them that day, he's saying, look, I must be betrayed. And he said, the one that's going to betray me is here at the table with me. And, you know, we can talk about Judas all we want. We can talk about how bad Judas was. But how many times have we betrayed God? How many times have we sold out to something other than God? How many times have we sold ourselves rather than given ourselves unto the Lord? The Bible declares to us that we are a holy nation, a what? Royal priesthood. And we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if the Bible is telling us we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, we need to know that we've been set apart. And what does a priest do? A priest go to offer, but we come to church to get. Oh, Lord have mercy. He says that we are priesthood. He said to present our bodies as what? Living sacrifice. We're not to offer dead sacrifices, but we're to offer our life a living sacrifice. He says, offer your bodies. But how many times we offer our bodies to everything else? I know this one here ain't going to go over, right? But we offer our bodies. And you know, we put our bodies on display for everybody. But we don't offer our bodies to the Lord. Holy and acceptable unto him. We are supposed to be priests, and we're supposed to come here to offer something, but the only thing we come to do is get something. Oh, but the grace of God is so good that even though we come just to get and never to give, he still gives to us. Oh, he's so good. He's so loving, so kind. He still blesses us. Even though we come in our selfish ways, he still gives us something. Amen. Even though we don't desire to give him anything back, we won't even go out and tell somebody about Jesus. We won't even share with our friends. We won't even pray with nobody. We won't do anything, but we still come here to get something. We want God to bless us, but we don't want to be a blessing. Y'all with me? Y'all not mad with me? It's all right. I don't care. But here it is that we talk about Judas all the time, and we do the same thing that Judas did. We sell out on God. We want to be loyal. We want to be faithful and loyal. And we want to eat of the supper. We want to partake of the body of Christ. That's what Judas did. He ate the supper. He partook of the body of Christ. But he went out and let the devil got in his heart. He went out and did something opposite of what we would do if we were a disciple. Amen. He betrayed him. But when we go on down, let's get off that, because I know it's feel a little uncomfortable, because we all have some betrayals in our life. Hey, man, imagine how you feel when your friend betray you. You want to scratch their eyes out. You want to tell all their secrets that you know. You want to embarrass them. You want to do something. You know, but thank God, God is not like that. You know what? He knows all your secrets, and he don't tell nobody. Lord, have mercy here. What a good God we serve. Oh, my. And so think about it. Amen. And so here it is that Judas went to betray him, but then they got amongst themselves and they begin to strive amongst themselves, and they begin to talk about who's the greatest, who's going to have a greater position than the other, who's going to be higher than the other. Do you know that whenever you come in to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and you truly commit to him, that we all are the same? We all are sons of God. We all are the same. We all are children of God. He doesn't put one of us above the other. He doesn't look at me and say, oh, I like him better than I like her. No, the Bible said God has no respecter of persons. In other words, God does not respect me more than he respects you. He loves us all the same. See, we got it all mixed up, because we think that God loves the way we love, because we love some better than we love others. We put up with some more than we put up with others. And God is not like that. God looks at us all the same, and he loves us all the same. God is so great, and his love is so perfect and so pure that it's not tampered with. It's not messed up. It's not a fiend love. It's an unfiend love. And he loves us because, not because we're so good and great, but he loves us because he's so good and he's so great. So they got together and they started to discuss it. They start showing that they are ambitious. And sometimes we can be really ambitious when it comes to the things of God. We can be ambitious not because we want to see God's kingdom grow, not because we want to see somebody get saved, but most of the time because we want somebody to pat us on the back and say, boy, you know you did that thing. We want somebody to pat us on the back and tell us we can sing, we can serve, you can put a program together. Oh, you can do that. You can preach. You can, oh, yeah, you can pray. We want somebody to tell us all the stuff that we can do. But you know what? I don't want to be in the show. I don't want to be in the front. I want to do only what God wants me to do. Because once I get out of what God wants me to do, then it becomes self. And when it becomes self, the Bible says flesh glory not in the presence of God. You wonder why some people fail? It's because they fail in the flesh. They didn't do it by the Spirit. They were not led of the Holy Spirit. They had an ambition. And here it was, the disciples had an ambition. They wanted to talk about who was going to be greatest. But Jesus, in another text, he straightened that up. He says that, let he that is the servant among you be the greatest. Whomever is the minister among you be the greatest. In other words, whoever gets down to the lowest, whoever gets down on the dirty, whoever gets down and washes the feet, that's the greatest. Whoever gets down and serves the other, that's the greatest. And that's what God intends for us, is that if you want to be great, you need to humble yourself. If you want to be great, serve somebody. If you want to be great, do unto somebody, even if they don't do it back unto you. I wish I had some people in here today that say, I want to be great. Amen. But he said the greatest are the ones that serve. Praise his name. And so he says, he goes on in verse 25, and he talks about the Gentiles and how they exercise their authority and how they misuse their authority. And he says, and you should not be so. He tells us, you know, that he says that the young, he says that among you let him that is younger, and he that is chief doth not serve. He talks about all that, what I just talked about. And guess what? He goes on to talk to us about in verse 31. He says to Simon, he says that behold, Satan desires to sift you, have you, and sift you as wheat. We need to understand something. Let me make sure I'm clear on this. We need to understand that we have an enemy, and our enemy is a common enemy. Our enemy, guess what? He is not seen, right? But he needs a body to do some work. All right. He needs a body. And guess what? I'm not somebody he can use. Amen. We need to say, every one of us needs to say, I'm not somebody that the enemy can use. You see, do you know that there are demonic spirits out there? There's an evil one that's out there. We try to write everything off as something. We try to scientifically explain everything that goes on. But guess what? We can't explain it all. And when you can't explain it all, you got to give it over to God and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I need your help and your protection. I need you to help me to understand these things. And so we have a common enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means I don't fight against you, really. I am not fighting against you. When we have an issue going on, we're not really fighting against the person, but it's something that has happened in the person, that some spirit that has influenced the person. I'm not saying that everybody becomes demonically possessed. But what I'm saying is that some people become demonically oppressed, or some people be demonically influenced, and they do things in your life so that they can try to destroy or take you down. Amen. And so when we understand that, we realize that those things that happen in our life, they don't always happen by chance, like some people say. You know that there is not even a Hebrew word for chance. That it happened by chance. But God does these things and allows these things in our life for one reason or another. Amen? And so the enemy, he desires, just like he did Simon, he desires to sift us as wheat. If you read the Greek text here in this particular verse, you is kind of plural, so God was speaking to us even back then. He says that, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desire to have you and to sift you as wheat. Now, we understand that Peter had the keys of the kingdom. He's the first one to go into the Gentiles, and that way they were able to be saved and receive the Spirit of God. We understand that, and I can imagine they were talking about who was going to be greater, who was going to be the leader, because Peter had, he was a stand-up guy. He stood up and told them that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He stood up and cut off the high high priest's servant's ear. He was a stand-up guy. So he was the leader, sort of. And so since he was sort of kind of the leader, Jesus had to speak to him to let him know that, Peter, if you want to be great, you got to understand the devil is going to come after you. So when we want to be something in God, do you know that Satan does not want us to be that? Satan does not want us to achieve that. Satan does not want us to become all we can become in God. And so he sets out to attack those who decide that they're going to do the will of God. Is that all right to preach to you? Amen. So I want to be clear, and I want you to understand, Satan is desiring to sift you, to have you, not just to do a little something with you, but he wants to have you. In other words, he wants to claim you as his own. He wants to possess you and all that you have. He wants to have you. He's not satisfied with just influencing you. He's not satisfied with just tinkering and tampering with your life. He wants to have it. Amen. And you can patty cake with him. You can play around with him. But he's saying that I'm here to take all I can get from you. He's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. He's not to play. And so he says that Satan desired to have you and sift you as wheat. Now the word desire here, when we understand this word, the word desire here, it means to beg or to obtain by asking. Now you got to remember, the Bible shows us in the book of Job that when the sons of God went before God to present themselves to God, he says that the angels of God, when they went to present themselves to God, that Satan came also among them. And God immediately recognized him and said, Satan, where you been? You know, what you want? What you been? I know you want something. You know how it is. You got people that only call you when they want something. I know why they came by my house, because they want something. That's exactly how God, you know, when you're devilish, you only go to God when you want something. You want God to protect you. Now, you done raised hell all week. All right, let me leave that. All right. So Satan came among them, the Bible says, and he says that I've been to and fro the earth seeking whom I may devour. He was looking for somebody that he can get. And he wasn't just no somebody, because he could have did anything to anybody, but he had his eye on Job. So God, knowing all things, says Satan, he says to him, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Now, God knew exactly where he'd been. He was just questioning him, because God is all-knowing. And so Satan said, yeah, but you got a head all around it. To prove to you that God knows everything, he knew Satan been by there. And so he said, have you considered Job? And Satan said, yeah, but I can't get in nowhere. Because you got protection all around him. There's no way I can touch him. I can't even get in his yard. Isn't that something? He said, I can't touch none of his property. I can't set foot. I can't trespass on his property because you won't allow me to. So he asked permission, and God said, okay, you can do anything you want, but his soul belongs to me. And Satan did all that he wanted to do, but God still would not curse. Job still would not curse God to his face. Satan told God, he said, Job only serves you because you blesses him. He only serves you because you give him stuff. He only serves you because of all the things that you allow him to have. And you know what? When you know, Satan is saying the same thing about many of us. The only reason why we serve God is because God been blessing us. The only reason why we serve God is because he's been good to us. But I want you to know, and I want Satan to know, I served God when I didn't have nothing. I served God when I can only afford a $5 tithe. I did it. I wish I had somebody. When I was walking, I served God. Oh, glory be to his name. That's what Job's testimony was. And so when we look at this, he says that Satan desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. The word sift, look at this. This word means, in the Greek, it means to shake. It means to sift for purpose of separating. In other words, Satan wants to handle you so that he can shake you up. He wants to handle you so he can separate you from some things. He wants to separate you from God. He wants to separate you from family. He wants to separate you from the church. He wants to separate some things in your life. I wish I had somebody here. And so when he said desire to have you, he's asking God, can I just separate them for a minute? And sometimes we feel like we've been separated. Sometimes you feel like you've been all by yourself. You feel like don't nobody care about you. You feel like ain't nobody there to love you. You feel like that you just feel alone. You're around people, but you still feel all by yourself. Do you know that could be a time of sifting? And you know you got to be able to stand the time of sifting. Why he's sifting, why he's pressing on you, why he's pushing on you, why he's tugging on you, why he's poking and prodding at you. You need to be able to stand the time of testing. Because it means to be tested. It means to be separated. It means to be proven that you're real. See, Satan wanted to prove. He wants to test you to see if you're real. You've been doing all that talk about how you love God, and he wants to see if you really love him. Oh, come on and say, man, you can have faith, but faith not tested is not faith. It's just a bunch of talk. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. How do you know that you love God except that your love has been tested for God? How do you know that you have faith in God except you had to trust him for it when nobody else can help you? Your mama can't help you. Your daddy can't. Can't nobody else help you but God. You got to get on your knees yourself. You got to pray for yourself. You can't get no family member. You can't go to the bank and borrow no money. You can't do none of this. All you can do is ask God to, Lord, have mercy on me. I wish I had somebody in here today that say, I've been converted and I'm about to do something. Come on and shout amen in here. Oh yeah, we got to see, you got to understand, you got to prove your commitment. Here they were talking about, I'm in the kingdom and I'm going to have a position in the kingdom. Are you willing to pay the price for the position? Are you willing to pay the price for the kingdom? Are you willing to go through? The Bible says, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. And the only way we can get in the kingdom is sometime going through trouble. When I go through troubles, when I go through trials, it pushes me closer to God. Why? Because it pushes me on my knees. And if I'm on my knees, I can't fall. I wish I had somebody up in here that said, I've been on my knees for the last month, preacher. You talking to me, and I've been praying, and I'm not intending to fall here. I'm intending to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free, and I'm not willing to be entangled with the yoke of bondage again, but I'm free. Oh, come on, praise the Lord. I'm free. He wants to test the commitment. He wants to separate. He wants to prove that you're genuine. He wants to prove that you're real. He wants to prove that you're saying that I'm going to stand no matter what. Come hell or high water, I'm with you, Lord. That's what we say. But then when hell and high water come, we first thing we do, we want to cuss and fight. We want to act a fool. We get mad with everybody around us. We want to throw in the towel. We want to cry. Then we show all the emotions. We're angry one day. We're mad later on that day. Then the next day, we cry. Crying and we're depressed and we're going through all that. When can we be stable enough to say, I know whom I believe in, and be like Job, I know my Redeemer lives? Oh, come on and say, man, will anybody in here be like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Though God allowed this to happen to me, I still trust that he will make a way out of no way. Though God allowed this to happen, I still believe that he'll pick me up, turn my life around. Though he allowed this to happen, I still believe that even if I'm afflicted, that these many afflictions, that the Lord will deliver me from them. I believe that these weapons that's formed against me, they won't prosper, even though I see them doing it, even though I see how bad it is, even though the devil put it in my face every morning and I got to get up to this problem. I still believe it won't prosper, even though I go to bed at night and I'm worried and laying in the bed crying about these things that's formed up around me. I still believe it won't prosper, even though I get to work and all I hear is people talking about these problems and I got this stuff in my face. I still believe that it won't prosper. I'm going to stop looking at my problem and lift my head up to the hills for what's coming. Somebody need to tiptoe and look over your problem. I need to stop looking at my problem. I need to look over my problem and lift my head up to the hills for what's coming. My help coming from the Lord. Too many times we keep looking at our problem, but I'm looking above my problem, because above my problem is my deliverance. Above my problem is my God. I wish I had somebody in here. You know, we need to start getting on tiptoes and getting up there, because when you get on tiptoe expectancy, you believe that God is about to do something. I got a sneaky suspicion that I'm talking to somebody this morning that you need to get on your tiptoes and see what you can see. I know God's going to bring a deliverance sooner or later. I know God is going to make a way sooner or later. I know this problem won't be like this always. I'm gonna get through this no matter what it takes. I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, I'm not ready to go there yet. But I need to be committed to this thing. So my commitment is going to be tested. My commitment is going to be tested. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, you know how it is when you first start going steady with your girl or your boo, your boyfriend or whatever. Somebody always, you know, they ain't want you when you have nobody. But as soon as you get married, as soon as you get somebody, he used to want to talk to me. They want to bring all that stuff up. They texting you now. Now you want to go out on a date? No, I got somebody. They testing your commitment. Ain't nothing but the devil. Tell that devilish woman to leave you alone. Tell that devilish man to get out your face. We ain't got no time for that because my commitment is with this person. And it's the same way with God, that the devil want to test your commitment. He want to see if you're going to lie. He want to see if you're going to do what God said do, or if you're going to do what he wants you to do. I wish I had somebody. Hallelujah. My intention was not to sweat this morning. But then he says, verse number 32, he says, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. He said, I prayed for you. That, now, it's something to have Jesus to pray specifically for you. You know the beauty of that? Is that he is praying specifically for you. The Bible said that he makes, he's the mediator, he's the intercessor. He stands in between us and God to let God know that it's okay, I paid the price for them. He's there and he's interceding for us on our behalf no matter what Satan brings his way. Satan comes and accuses us, and notice something. Satan, the Bible says, is the accuser of the brethren. And you know what? He don't come. Satan don't always lie. Sometimes he let the truth out there. But you know what? God still protects us even when it's true. Lord. God still looks at us and said, that's all right. Jesus has paid the price for that sin. Oh, yeah, Satan comes up and said, you know, they ain't nothing but a lie. They're backbiters. They gossipers. And then God said, and Jesus said, that's all right. I paid the price for them because they need another chance. And see, he's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. Because every time I do something another, he gives me another chance. I wish I had somebody. He gives me another chance. And so he's telling me, he says that I prayed. And notice what all of this, what Jesus is saying. He said, Satan had desired. That's past tense. Then he said, I have prayed. That's past tense. Now, the thing that was going to happen had not even happened yet. But Jesus is speaking about it as if it is in the past tense. When we look at what God is saying and showing us in the text, is that even though we haven't done some things that we might do wrong, that God has already shown us that Jesus has prayed for us. He's already shown us that whatever we do is already under the blood. I wish I had somebody. We need to see. He said, I've already prayed for you, Simon. I know that you're going to fail at this, but I've already prayed that your failure is not a finality. Come on. We need to understand that failure is not final. Even though I fail at something, that's not the final verdict. That's not the end of me. That's not the end of my walk with God. Even though I fail at something, I still get another chance to show that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Come on and say amen. We need to learn how to get strengthened by Christ, because even if I fail at it, that don't mean I gotta stop. That means I need to get back up. The Bible said that a just man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up and gets back in line. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. We have some falls in our life. The Bible said that even when we fall in the diverse temptation, to count it all joy. Do I have any witnesses? I may have some falls, but my falls are not final. I can get back up and start over again. I can get back up and continue the work that God called me to. I can get back up and achieve what God intended for me to achieve. The only reason for my fall was to teach me how to get back up. The only reason for time I fall was to let me know that you can't do it by yourself, but God is a helping hand to lift you up out of the horrible pit. The only reason for my fall is that when somebody else get there, I can look back and say, that's all right. You can get on back up. Somebody say amen here. See, Peter, if he would not have had a fall here, if Peter would not have had a denial here, he would have been very self-righteous. He would have been a person that did not believe. Come on and say amen. He would have been somebody who did not believe that God could give somebody a second, a third, a fourth chance. He would have been so condemning that nobody would have heard his message. He would have been so condemning that nobody would have believed in him. Come on and shout hallelujah here.